catch up on Kennedy Malloy anywhere. Now use super fast internet anywhere with OVO Boom prepaid mobile broadband. No contracts, no wires. OVO.com.au. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. Well, Jane, anyway. Mick's lunch is so long, he's still there. So we've got the next best thing. Matt Preston. This is Kennedy Preston.
Well, how do you like them apples, Australia? Wow. Welcome to Preston Kennedy. Do you like that, Matt?
I love that. I feel it's kind of exciting. I've always wanted to be Mick Malloy, but better.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're doing a great job. Welcome, Australia, to a very exciting show for the next couple of hours. We're going to entertain you with the great Matt Preston and Dangerous Dave on board.
How are you, guys? Good to see you. Matt, you're looking fantastic.
You are. You look so good.
So healthy in that little corner over
yes,
there.
Yes, it's so much more pleasant to look at someone in that corner. Smiling,
no, friendly.
I'm glad.
Chic,
showered.
I am showered. I was out till 3 a.m. last night.
Oh God, don't tell
me that. In bars in Brisbane. So right. I feel I've been channeling the inner Mick. I feel like being Mick Malloy is like having a midlife crisis.
Oh no, you've got a head start. Look, we have got a great show ahead. In fact, we've got a lot of people to clown. I'll probably clown Mick at some stage. Oh, yeah. I might even clown your good self, Matt, to make you feel welcome.
I deserve it.
You do deserve it. Sometimes we're going to talk to Tim Fisher, who has written an unbelievable book on steam locomotives. Oh. That is a brilliant tome. I think it's probably his sixth book he's written, and we'll enjoy having a quick chat with him on the phone. Bachelorette.
Bah.
I've got to wrap it up. I've got to put it to bed, and we'll explain. Well, someone's going to get to bed. Mm. There is an amazing statistic that came out today that doesn't really impress me. Deliveroo, a woman is getting one a day to her house, and people saying, is this the laziest woman in Sydney? I beg to differ. There'd be a lot of people that would have Uber Eats or something coming to their doors more than once a day.
Yeah. Why not?
We'll discuss. We've got the Week in Review. We've got lots to get through, so much more, and I'm so thrilled to have you here with me, Matt.
I'm loaded up and I'm ready to roll.
Ready to roll? Well, look, last night...
Did he? What did he do?
Oh, your dinner with Mick.
What did he do?
Right. So first of all, Mick and I went out. We're a prize, an auction prize for a challenge charity.
Win Jane, free Mick. Yeah. Like the steak knives?
It was a little bit like that. $4,500. Two couples paid.
Whoa.
And we went out with Simone and Michael and Ruth and David and Mick and I. And Mick had already said on air, basically, that is this going to be a swingers night? To really terrify me. And he said, don't worry, there's going to be a bowl in the middle of the table. We'll all be throwing our keys in. So, look, it started well. We had pre-dinner drinks. We went to Maha, a beautiful restaurant in Melbourne, which is Shane D'Elia's restaurant.
Sounds nice.
Stunning food, beautiful food, wonderful drinks. I think Mick drank too fast. I'm just saying he was a disgrace. He embarrassed me. He's embarrassed this show.
Oh,
one of the lasting images I have, he took the serviette, the napkin, from the table, and he whacked a waiter on the bottom with it as he left our table. He told inappropriate stories. He was boozy. He ordered his own wine because he's too big to have all the wines that were matched with everyone else.
Well, he is an expert when it comes to the drinking, though, isn't he?
He thinks he's an expert at that. But anyway, good riddance to Mick for today. I do want to apologise. He hasn't been very pleasant about you, Matt. And I just thought it's best that we get it all out.
Let's get it.
It's the elephant in the room.
So I can plan my sweet revenge over the next two hours.
Oh, this will be sweet for you. Trust me. Here's what Mick had to say about you, Matt.
Are you going with Matt Preston?
Of course I'm
going
with Matt.
That was a bit of an impulse buy, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Are you seriously?
No, I'm really looking forward to it.
Don't want me to throw some other names on the table? No, or
just shush.
He's really good.
You're a bit narky about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be great.
In very small doses, but whether
I beg your pardon. Listen, I'm going to get a compilation of how rude you've been about Matt.
Good luck, Matt Preston, keeping this afloat for 2 hours I have to do every day. Kicking into a 6-goal breeze.
Oh, wow.
There's just a sample of this is what I have to work with. Do you believe?
You know what I would advise Mick to do? If you're out for a long rostered day out lunch somewhere in in a capital city. Do not do it where I know everyone.
So funny you should mention that.
Because, Mick, after you've sat down to your...
Because that's
your...
everybody. I don't think everyone knows. That's where Mick is. He's had a roster day off to go for a long lunch. Mm. I'm not kidding.
Yeah. And look, I appreciate that. That is my life, is a roster day off for the long lunch. So I feel it's good that I come and replace him. But it is a worry when I can ring the guys at the restaurant. And,
is that were you on the phone? I heard you on the phone.
I was on the phone to my very good friend, Dave Vahul, who told me the Mick's had flounder. He then had chicken. he then had a rare breed Berkshire Kurrabuta pork rack.
How much is he eating?
Cooked super slow over the almonds with braised almonds, because Mick's a braised almond sort of guy.
Get out.
He had a look at the wine list, and there was nothing he liked there. So he got something off list.
He did it.
He's got something off list, and the price of the wine, where we might be sipping a tasty little $16 number.
Yes. Because we're normal people.
Mick, price of Mick's $230, $240 a bottle.
No.
He is, you know what's happened?
Oh, he's changed.
It's like one of those 70s movies where we literally change places. He is living right now.
He's living your life.
My life. And I'm here. And, you know, Mick's life looks pretty good from this place.
Well, it's all right. Look, we might have to clown him.
We will.
Very soon. In fact, we're going to clown quite a few people, and we'd like to hear from you too.
1-333-53.
Who you like to clown?
You bet. All thanks to Ovo Boom Prepaid Mobile, supercharged internet anywhere.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy. There are many contenders.
Hey, I'm the leader, bro.
Please explain.
I'll let you finish.
Oh, good for you.
But it can't always be this guy.
You are fake news.
Who will be...
He was a famous clown.
Clown of the week.
Well, it pains me to even start because we love Bunnings. We love everything about Bunnings. Oh, yeah. But we've been appalled by the whole Bunnings onion saga that you're up with this, of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's a big food story. I'm all over it.
Of course you
like
are.
Like a rash.
So,
or a rasher of bacon.
That's right. Well, you could add bacon, but that you're not allowed to, because when you set up the Bunnings snag stall, you're only allowed to have sausages, bread, sauce and onions. They're the only ingredients, according to the document, which is about 25 pages long.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent document. I've read it, obviously.
And soft drink, and you can't have the prices more than $2.50.
Yep, that's excellent.
When the Prime Minister of the country gets involved and has his say about how one serves onion and sausage, you know that there's trouble brewing.
Yep.
Because they're saying onion has to be now served under the sausage.
Mm.
When it was on top, it might spill and people might slip on a slippery onion.
Mm. People have lost their mind over this, haven't they?
Well, fair enough, because we've got so many things to worry about in the world,
yeah.
And this is insane. Let's hear what Scott Morrison had to say.
Whether the onions are on top or underneath, I'll always be buying sausages on bread, whether it's at the football, whether it's at Bunnings or anywhere I can assist to those great charitable causes. And frankly, I'm not going to give them any recipe hints.
Well, no, that's insane. We didn't ask for recipe hints.
How high?
Just answer the question.
How high was that fence? How high is that fence you're sitting on? ScoMo! Very high up there.
Well, God.
I'm not going to sit on the fence. I'm going to tell you exactly how it is. One, it's a recommendation. Two, Bunnings have got it right. Firstly,
what are you talking about?
If we can stop one little old lady who's honestly gone into Bunnings to buy a flange nut for her angle
Don't
grinder.
Don't you say flange nut
if
to me.
Gone, if she comes up, we can save her from the emergency department and a hip replacement because there's no onions on the ground.
No.
Number one. Number two,
no.
There's a fundamental problem in putting onions on the top of your sausage. When you tilt your sausage and your bread up, the onions roll forward, carrying the sauce onto your upper lip, therefore staining your moustache with mustard and ketchup.
Well, that's boo-hoo for anyone who's got a moustache or a beard.
Put them underneath.
Including me.
Put them, I wasn't going to say it. Put them underneath the sausage on the bread. But even worse is this idea that some Bunnings have been selling sausages in hot dog rolls. That is sausage sizzle.
No, that's un-Australian.
So I'm gonna stick up for Bunnings here. I think they're doing the right thing and they're protecting little old ladies.
I think you're being a suck and you want to get a
free
advertising campaign at Bunnings.
No, just an angle grinder would be fine.
You idiot. All right. It's your turn to read one out.
I get to read. This is very exciting.
Yes.
I think if you're gonna make a policy decision, you know, you can either flip, you can either do what ScoMo does and sit on the fence, or you can flip flop.
Okay.
And obviously, the president of Iceland has done the biggest flip flop of the year, backing down on his position to ban pineapple on pizza in Reykjavik this week.
Clown him. Let's have a listen.
I issued a presidential statement on pineapples on pizza. It went like this: I like pineapples, just not on pizza. I do not have the power to make laws which forbid people to put pineapple on their pizza. I am glad that I do not hold such power. Presidents should not have unlimited power. I would not want to hold this position if I could pass laws forbidding that which I don't like.
You know what I hear there?
I recommend seafood.
You know what I hear there? I hear a president running scared of George Colombaris, who only wants to have pineapple on the pizza, nothing else. And he's running scared. Colombaris has threatened him. He's threatened a campaign against him.
No one wants to be threatened by George Colombaris. you put that in my head. Now, that is bizarre to hear the president of Iceland. I'm sure he's obviously a very busy man. Not a lot going on in Iceland, is there, if that's one of the policies he's putting out. Okay, I would like to clown the supermarket. I think it was Woolworths. I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah.
For doing a piss poor frog birthday cake. Now, this couple spent $50. They asked for a frog birthday cake. What they got was a green cake with two dots for eyes and a smile. And this made the news in the US.
Oh, huge.
You've got to love this. An Aussie story being played. Let's have a listen, Dave.
Parents mortified after picking up this cake for their son's frog-themed birthday party. The couple slamming the Australian supermarket for what they call pathetic decorating skills. When they tried to get it fixed, the supermarket chain said they don't decorate cakes. Another cake decorator managed to save it. Oh, well, that's...
He did?
That's cute.
What?
Oh, come on.
It's a pond. Yeah, but where's the frog? It just looks
it's
like a
the
three.
It's in the pond. It looked like a number three, though. All right, we gotta go. Have a good day.
Wow, couldn't you listen to US television newsreader banter all day?
If you need to see that photo, by the way, we've just got it on Instagram too. Yeah.
You do.
Boy.
Now, we're getting lots of calls through. We might go to a quick break.
You bet.
And when we come back, give us a call, 1-3-3-5-3. Any more clowns you've got, we've got plenty to get through, trust me.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Oh, yeah, we're really happy to have Matt Preston with us in studio while we're doing clown
of
the
happy.
Week.
We're so relaxed.
We are.
Everyone's
cheers,
having a great time.
It was fun.
Cheers.
Stop it. You sound like Mick. What are you
cheers.
Doing?
Cheers.
No,
cheers.
You've actually, your English accent has completely gone.
I can't help it. It's the chair is taking over. It's not Mick, it's the chair.
That is hilarious. Hey, speaking of something hilarious.
Yes.
I'm going to play you something that I don't know if anybody thought through when they were proposing this. Yeah. The publicity department, the marketing team at Channel 7. They go, we've got a great idea. We're excited about the cricket coming to 7. Got this great idea. It's motivating. We've got one line we want all the presenters to say to camera.
Yep.
Would you like to hear it?
Please.
Because I just think it's a bit unusual. Please. All right, go for it.
Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming.
Oh, wow.
Hold on, I'm coming.
Yeah,
you're trying to think of the porn star.
I'm going. You know what they're doing. Ron Jeremy. In the meeting, they thought it's going to be Sam and Dave. It's going to be Hold On, I'm Coming, Sam and Dave.
Classic.
So maybe that music should have been up behind it, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's ended up being Ron Jeremy, and that's never good. Never good. Baby.
I can't get over the fact that not one of those people who was standing. This is what I mean. People say it's like Ron Burgundy. Yeah. Speaking of Rons, read this on auto cue. Yeah. You've got to speak up about that.
But when you're idiot talent, like obviously there's people talking, like me, George and Gary, people say, here, just hold the ice cream. So you hold the ice cream, and then when the thing comes out on the front of the magazine, all your mates send you pictures of you holding.
A dripping vanilla ice cream.
A dripping penis, yes,
correct.
Exactly.
Correct.
So
you're a grown-up now, Matt, and George and Gary, you're all grown-ups. You're allowed to say, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Oh, no. We now whispering to each other is, that's an ice cream moment. Don't do it. Because we know how bad it is. And in fairness, that time Gary and I both went, we're not going to do it. George. And so it's all George's mates.
I just sold him up the river.
George, a nice double hander.
Oh, very my good, God. George. All right. It's really turning into Mick now. We might go to some calls. Mark. How you going, Mark? Who would you like to clown, mate?
Oh, his name's Akiko Kondo.
Oh, yes.
Tell me about Akiko.
Well, he was getting married, or he did get married.
Yep.
And his mum, she refused the wedding.
She didn't want to go. She
didn't attend to it. No.
Why not?
Because he was getting married to a hologram.
Oh.
A virtual reality singer.
Oh.
Pride and Prejudice has gone too far.
Yeah. Well, it's better than a blow-up doll, isn't it?
Well,
I don't know.
I reckon it's cost him a bit more than a blow-up doll because it cost him $17,600 on a formal ceremony.
No,
that's ridiculous. Mark, I like your research. Yeah. On the subject, I think we better give Mark a prize.
I've got your slab of Brick Lane beer. Mark, you can have the base lager, the One Love Pale Ale, or the Rich Hoppy Ale. Slab coming your way, mate. Thank you.
All right, sounds pretty good to me.
Good on you, Mark.
Now, Steve, you've got a clown yourself, huh?
Yes, I have, Matt. It's Mick Malloy.
Again.
Yeah.
Which one of the many things?
What this time?
For thinking that the gorgeous Australian native marsupial possum is a rodent.
Oh,
every
sad,
primary school child knows it's a marsupial.
He didn't concentrate much at primary school. He was a very slow learner.
Did he really actually get through school?
I don't think he did, Steve.
I don't think so. I think it's on one of the coins. Or it used to be one of the coins. The
possum.
The possum.
Well, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It's a pest, Steve. Let's be frank.
It's not a pest.
It's shocking.
It's a national icon. It's good to see that Mick is turning into the Donald Trump of radio.
Oh, no.
Fantastic.
You know what? He thinks he is the Dr. Chris Brown of radio. Yeah. This is the problem, mate.
Exactly.
Another one of his arch enemies.
It's all those firm jawlines he has.
It is, like yourself. Okay, hello, Corey.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. What's going on in your house and who do you want to clown?
I want to clown my son.
Oh, yeah? Go on. How old is he?
He's 13.
Oh, yep.
I left him at home for an hour.
Okay, yes.
I had to go to Bunnings. No, I didn't get the onion sandwich.
Thank you for making that clear.
I come home and he sprayed the cats with toilet spray.
He sprayed the cats with toilet spray?
Yeah. My cats are all fine.
What the hell?
Why?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Why did he do that?
Why?
I have no idea. Like, he does have a mental disability, but I don't understand. I don't know why.
My cat's all right?
Yeah, the cats are fine.
Okay. Corey, what was the flavour of the spray? Was it fluorite? Was it orange?
I don't know. It was pine? Some rose petals thing or something. I don't know.
Well, there you go.
Oh, that's
You've got
lovely
smelling cats. Yeah. Thank you, Corey, for that call. We might have time. Quickly go to Art. How are you going, Art?
Hey, Jane. Very good, thanks.
Yeah, good. Who do you want to clown?
I want to clown Uber.
Oh, controversial.
What's happened?
Go ahead.
They seem to have increased their prices without really advertising it. I had to use them a few times on the weekend, and it was actually cheaper to get a taxi.
Yeah, and you know, this is a worldwide thing, and you tend to find that they drop their prices when there's competitors coming to the market, but I was in the UK, same thing. Black cab was cheaper than getting an Uber. So you've always got a bit smart, and I always have an Uber app, and if I'm in a city, you try and get the local taxi app so you can compare the two.
But why don't they just keep with what the original model was, which everybody loved? Do you tip in an Uber?
Nah. It's done Australian.
Correct. Yeah. Thank you very much. There are people in this country that tip and they're spoiling it for everyone.
They're breaking it.
They're breaking the rules.
Mm. Yeah.
Just want to say. Yeah. Hey, we will come back with more because our switchboard has still got calls. Yeah. We've got some more clowns of the week. Stick around.
Get involved. 133353.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Jane Kennedy, Mick Malloy and
it's
Matt
getting
Preston.
Unruly in here.
Sorry,
and I'll give you the tip. There's no Mick Malloy, but there may as well be.
It's
what's
that
going
seat.
On?
No. It's my midlife crisis.
Don't let me lose respect for you, Matt.
No, I'm sorry. Okay.
Keep it nice.
No, I won't.
We're in the thick of Clown of the Week, and I have just a quick one to play for you. Which one was I going to play?
Sam Dastyari.
Our very enlightened management at Triple M have asked Sam Dastyari to fill in for Luke Bonner. You know who Luke Bonner is? He does Midnight to Dawn.
He's great. I love Luke Bonner.
He's great.
Sam Dastyari is a little bit more provocative.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to be provocative.
Politician, isn't he? Yeah,
was.
Ex-politician.
Right.
Ex-politician.
No more. Okay.
Sam likes playing it, you know, for controversial reasons.
Okay.
All right, I'm just being controlled here. Can I just play you something, though? I think he might have been struggling a little bit last night with calls because this is what he put out last night, which I actually heard go to air.
We know there's a lot of people out there in prisons who have radios, and there are people out there in prisons who also have phones. 133353, we will get you straight on air. You can be as anonymous as you want to be, but if there is anybody out there in an Australian prison who maybe couldn't sleep tonight listening through to Triple M kind of beside your bed, give us a call, 133353. Is anyone in prison right now and you've always wanted to be on radio? At Tonight's Unite.
What's happening?
Now, oh, that's
this
terrible.
On so many levels. First of all, do prisoners have phones? Just
well, how else do you get your knives imported, really?
Yeah.
No, it's and you know what's great, though, is you can tell the desperation because there's no calls coming in. There's a blank screen. You're not, honestly, what are you going to talk about? You'll be anonymous. It'll be fine.
He mentioned about five times if you're in prison. Anyway, I don't know if anybody did call up, but there was my clown. Let's go to Pablo.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Who do you want to clown?
My daughter.
Okay, go ahead.
My daughter, Liana, had to post a letter. She went out and bought an envelope. Mm-hmm. And in the top right-hand corner, it says, a fixed stamp here.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes up to me, Pablo, so what's in a fixed stamp? Here, it's a special size stamp, it costs a little bit more, that must fit inside that little box.
Oh.
So what did she do? Go to the post office, ask for an affixed stamp, and they just looked at her like she was a bit of a, what?
Hey, Pablo, I've got to admit, I did have to run it by Matt and Dave here and say, well, what do you mean an affixed stamp? What's that all about? Because then I found out, I use stamps, and is that weird?
You're a philatelist, Jane. So.
How very dare you. In my spare time only. I am a philatelist, Pablo.
Right.
And I still buy stamps, and apparently I'm a buffoon for doing that, according to Matt Preston.
No, you're just 208.
What do you use? How do you post a letter?
Well, who posts the letter? You ring people, or you go and see them, or maybe you
don't speak to anyone on the phone.
This email, or a text, instant messenger, WhatsApp. Yeah. Hello.
Are you telling me you don't post letters?
No, never.
That's crazy. All right, thank you, Pablo. I've learned a lot here. That's crazy. Hey, Terry.
How you going?
Yeah, good. What do you do, Terry? Are you the clown yourself?
Yeah, I'm going to clown myself because when I was about 9 or 10, Mum left me in the car with my brother, and she had a brand new car. In those days, you had a bench seat. So we got the lighter and plugged it in and started making patterns on the seat with the lighter.
Oh, my God.
So when she came back, she had nice stars all over it.
Terry, how old are you now?
55.
Yeah. You haven't had therapy about this, have you?
No. Well, I'm showing my age. I still use postage stamps as well.
Oh, God.
But what career do you go on to do? Are you an artist now? Because that's a...
Are you an engraver?
Yeah, an engraver. You know? What do you do?
I'm almost too embarrassed to say I'm a pest controller.
Oh, really? Well, you'd be the pest, Terry. All right, we better give you a prize, Terry,
Tell
for
you
that.
What I got for you, Terry. I've got $100 worth of DeBordely wines, the delicious Rosé by DeBordely. Everything you want in a pale, dry rosé. Congratulations, buddy.
See ya.
Good on you. Enjoy that. When we come back, special guest to chat to on the phone.
Yeah, the great Tim Fisher.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Tim Fisher spent 30 years in public office, 10 of those as leader of the Nationals.
My question about notices to the Prime Minister has sent the member for Petrie to sleep for most of question time.
He left Parliament in 2001 for more family time, which includes, as we saw on Monday night's Australian Story, his autistic son, Harrison.
Julia Gillard is my political idol. He's easily my favourite Prime Minister.
I just am delighted he takes an interest in politics, and maybe one day he will switch back.
He's also known as this country's biggest rail fan, and surely his favourite spot is in Albury.
The break of gauge platform, which paralysis of parliamentary intellect dreamt up Australia's break of gauge.
Having just released a new book, Steam Australia, Locomotives That Galvanised the Nation, please welcome the former Deputy PM, Tim Fisher.
Good afternoon, Tim.
And greetings to Jane and to Matt. Greetings to Triple M.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show. When I heard that you had put out one of your latest books on trains, on steam locomotives, I genuinely was ecstatic because I've got a few steam train enthusiasts in my household. And I like the dedication. You dedicate your book to all who use steam over the decades in Australia, especially those who travelled to and from the First World War and to and from all other conflicts by steam-hauled trains. A great and long interest for you, Tim.
It has been. And, of course, it did alter our economy at the turn of the century, at the advent of, and arguably help create the Federation of Australia when the miners of Kalgoorlie wanted a shorter way back to Ballarat and Bendigo, from which they'd come, largely and they wanted and were promised that transcontinental if they voted for federation. There would be a line built from Kalgoorlie to Port Augusta, and indeed during World War One, that was completed in 1917 and operates in standard gauge to this day. But the book's a lot of fun as well, and I'm just delighted you have some train tragics who are going to get it at the Christmas
Well, I think there's a lot of Triple M train tragics, which is why I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention, especially with Christmas coming up.
Yeah, it would be make an excellent Christmas, especially for anyone who wants to know about Murray, the state-of-the-art dining car on the Spirit of Progress. But I've got a question that relates to Spirit of Progress, that amazing fast train that ran up from Melbourne up towards Sydney.
Aubrey.
Yep.
So, your son's favourite leader is Julia Gillard. Do you reckon Julian Gillard or Victorian Railways Chief Commissioner Harold Clapp is the more influential Australian?
I'd go for Whitten and the guy who for 35 years ran the New South Wales Government Railways. Well, Clapp put in a huge effort in modernising the Victorian railways, that is for sure. Who is our Isambard Kingdom Brunel? Who is our George Stevenson? I think it's probably Whitten more than anybody else, to be honest.
Train interest, especially steam train, crosses all age groups. Why is that? Why are there still guys that I know who are running small closed train stations and platforms but set up a steam engine once every couple of months for enthusiasts to come and visit?
Because there's so much colour action movement, and because the 21st century is seeing the US of A swing back to rail massively, intermodal container trains. It's seeing Australia get its world's newest transcontinental north-south humming between Adelaide and Darwin. Tonight's a Friday. The most lucrative freight train in Australia each week is the supermarket special pulling out of Adelaide for goods for delivery to Coles, Woolworths, Aldi, yep. Everyone else wow. in Darwin on Monday morning. So rail's back in business, freight, and of course massively for the peak hour unfolding in the next few minutes across the Melbourne system. And then you've got that bit of romance. I mean, Agatha Christie changed trains at Albury. Rudyard Kipling, Mark Twain.
Oh, it's wonderful. The romance is definitely there, which we love. Now, Tim, you haven't been well and you're undergoing a bit of treatment at the moment. How's it going for you?
Well, all the better because I'm seeing Melbourne's newest underground railway station being built under my Peter Mac. I don't know if they've allocated a name for it yet, but
no.
It could obviously be...
Well, Fisher Station sounds
Fisher
pretty
Station
good.
Fisher Station sounds pretty good. That's pretty
I was going to say Doherty Station because it's under our Nobel Prize.
Oh, well, there you go.
In the street, Garrett Street, whatever it is.
Yep, well...
They're digging fast.
They are, so because trains are our future still, so it's wonderful.
The Rod Eddington Tunnel is a reality on the way, and I think the design of that is about right. So we need, after what went wrong here was in the 60s and 70s, the road lobby dominated, state governments were dominated by their road bureaucracies, and yes, we have to have some freeways, but not at the total neglect of investment in our rail systems.
Well, if people buy your book, they will be convinced not to drive their cars anymore. They'll be going on trains. It's called Steam Locomotives That Galvanise the Nation, Australia. Tim, we wish you well and we thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Matt. And season greetings, and I hope you catch a train home after your shift.
Yeah. Good on you.
Such a pity that Mick's not here because steam is what Mick's all about. Driven by hot air.
Kennedy Malloy.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
I'm really falling in love with you and I've never felt this way ever before.
Jane's Bachelorette Recap.
My apologies, everyone, but the good news is it's finished.
Oh, yay.
Did you like Ellie as a bachelorette, Matt? Okay. Don't need to.
I really like Sophie Monk. I thought she was amazing. Ellie's an interesting cat.
Yeah. You know what? She's a lovely girl. I know for a fact. She's a great girl, great family. I just thought that we'd seen her before and it wasn't fair. There's so many ripping girls in this town, this world in Australia who could have been the Bachelorette. Yeah, we need somebody we don't know any of their background. Mm. That goes for the guys too.
You also need someone who doesn't flag who they're going to pick at the very beginning of the show.
So like, for all of you who are just hanging on to every word I'm about to say about who won.
You missed nothing.
No, it really was like, oh, no kidding. Shall I just play a little bit when we had
please.
The young Todd, who's 26, by the way, and she's 32. That was not going to be happening.
Right.
Let's just hear first from Todd how foolishly confident he was.
Ali is my future wife and the future mother of my kids.
Yeah. Jeez. No, I don't think that worked out. No, because Ali wasn't in love with him and she didn't like pashing him as much as she liked pashing the other bloke. Can we hear how she broke the news?
I feel like we would have such a perfect life together. But something's missing for me. It's about following my heart and...
somewhere else.
It's leading me to someone else.
It's okay.
Then the walk of shame in the middle of the outback. Not quite like down the beach at Fiji last year.
Yeah.
Oh, have we got Jared?
Yeah.
If you do ever need me, I'll always be there.
What?
That was the creepy whisper that...
Oh, I couldn't hear what he was saying.
It was the creepy whisper that Ron, something of Ron Jeremy. What's his name? Todd.
Why you got Ron Jeremy?
You've got Ron Jeremy on the mind, haven't you?
I don't know why I said that.
One mention of Ron Jeremy, it's just there.
Looking at Matt.
Just there. Gee.
I wasn't looking at you. I was looking at the paper.
If I cut my beard, it's like a moustache.
No, you look nothing like... Trust me, I've met Ron Jeremy. You don't look anything like him.
Was he clothed?
Yes, he was.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, off Ron. Now we're going to go to the winner, Tate. Big surprise. Here we go.
I've come in here looking for a partner, not just a boyfriend. Someone that I can start a family with. Someone that I can call my husband. I'm looking for that right guy. I'm willing to risk the hopes and dreams that I came here with because I'm so in love with you.
I'm falling madly in love with you.
Well, what are the odds on the split? What are you talking about? What are the odds on the split? What do you reckon? 6 months, 1 year, married forever?
Do you know what I read today in a paper?
Mm.
That he's been on another show and he kind of is a professional... reality show.
That seems highly unlikely for a Channel 10 show to do anything disgraceful like that.
I'm so sorry.
That's not the way Channel 10 operates.
I shouldn't tarnish Channel 10 at all.
And the fine reputation of the back. I want to know. I think what's interesting, I think Ali's a reset. I think the
yes, now they've got to go back to basics.
And let's have some real Australian blokes. Let's not have central casting Australian blokes.
Correct.
Let's have some guys from Beauty and the Geek. Let's have some surprising people. Let's not have
actors. Let's have people who honestly go.
They're not actors. They're just people.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's not have people who want to be famous.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
And you know what? That is the absolute number one secret of MasterChef is we dismiss those people.
But you changed that big time this year. You just went, no, we want total real people. I'm not saying you had fakes before.
No, for season one and two, people would come, hi, I'm the new Jamie Oliver. You go, no, you're not. Bye bye. And that's absolutely, you don't want those people. You want real, if you want real love, you want real people.
Correct.
Because you can't build a relationship
on
sand, and that is like TV sand.
We're on the same page all together. All right. Hey, we will wrap that whole bachelor scenario.
It's done.
And we've told Channel 10 what to do.
Yeah.
And look, I've just got one thing. I understand it's Friday and it's traditional for you to present your co-host with something to say thank you for an amazing week on air.
Oh, my God.
I just want to show you that this is the way a co-host should
What's
treat
happening?
You.
Matt has presented me, which I've never got from anyone on this show.
Jane.
Some beautiful flowers. Thank you, Matt. It's really refreshing to have a real gentleman on the show.
You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to get you some beautiful gerberas and dahlias and roses that in the colour, the exact shade that match the AC/DC logo on your T-shirt. Because that's detail, honey.
Well, hey, you've gone over and above. Yeah. So thank you so much, Matt. Class all the way.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Preston.
got like a pretty good ring to it, doesn't
sounds
it?
Sounds good.
And amazing tune in the background. I love it.
Welcome back, Australia. Stand by because we've got a week in review where we go back and look at the last few days. Remember Mick Molloy? He used to work on
Who?
The show.
Yeah.
We'll go back and have a look. We'll take your tweets. We'll take your calls. We'll take anything on Facebook.
Yes.
Please get in touch with us. We love hearing from you.
If you're in prison and you've got a phone, feel free to call us.
That's right. You can be anonymous. It'll be fine. Right now we're going to talk about a topic that I thought would be really great to talk with someone who knows about food better than most people in this country. And it's quite a contentious issue. It is in my house and houses around Australia, I think. This is the issue of having home-delivered food.
Yeah, well,
Uber Eats, Deliveroo, whatever else is in existence.
It's that. I think the issue, and this is you're talking about the Sydney woman who orders Deliveroo, 1.3 times a day?
Yes.
Yeah?
Now, some people thought that was shocking. I didn't actually blink. I think there's a lot of people having food delivery every day.
And they're doing it because of that whole, I mean, food delivery has been available in Australia for hundreds of years.
Pizza and takeaway.
You know, you'd go down with your saucepan and go and pick up your takeaway.
Which I used to do the Chinese.
Yeah, that's right. So, but the issue now is this ability to press a button and it comes and you don't think and you kind of don't perceive you're putting your hand in your pocket and putting a pineapple over the palm.
So it's almost like gambling, isn't it?
I think if you make it easy for people to spend money, they will spend money. And then suddenly, if you actually add up what you spend on your Uber Eats or Deliveroo, it's a lot of coin.
And it'll be a shock for people because you don't know. It goes into that PayPal.
Yes, and you know my view is you can make a sauce for pasta in the same time as it takes to cook the pasta quicker than the takeaway will come. So we need to be and way cheaper because you got to pay. You got to pay the big wadge of coin that delivery service wants. You've got to then also pay for the meal.
Also the containers and everything. Now you know what you're talking about because your recipes that you've done recently. What's your latest cookbook?
I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not here to talk about my cookbook.
No, but I'm going to give it a plug.
No, Yummy, easy cook around
the world.
No, but I wanted to say it.
I'll tell you why. Because I used to bang on about it in books that I'd written too, just saying it's faster to put a steak in a pan, a salad, a Greek salad, and maybe, I don't know. Well, that's all you need. Greek salad and a steak.
Salad 3 minutes. Easy.
Done before barbecue. Your Uber. And it's better for you, everything. You don't talk about the cost. It's not even expensive.
But it's this whole other thing that most food we get delivered gets destroyed by the act of being put in a box and put in the back of a hot box and driven around by some underpaid, underinsured employee.
Now tell me, with your mates who work in the industry, Matt.
Yeah, they don't like it.
What do they not like about it?
Well, look, you're seeing a big movement in the States for people to either set up their own delivery system because they want to deliver locally, but they don't like paying the coin that's demanded of them by the delivery service.
Okay. Now, you said there's another format that's popping up in Australia as well.
Yeah, well, look, one of the other questions is when you order, obviously in the old days when you order takeaway, you order it from your local restaurant, which is lovely. Mm. You support your local community. But nowadays you order it and it comes from a big name chain and you don't know whether it's coming from one of the branches of that big name chain or whether it's coming from Black Kitchen, which is a kitchen set up with staff paid minimal wages to make that food under license.
So like a small little factory.
It would be a bit like, you think you're ordering a real Mick Molloy and you end up getting a cut price Matt Preston. and you wouldn't really know, this isn't really great Mick Molloy, but you go, it's passable, it's kind of fatty. and it tastes of beer.
So kids have got onto this caper as well. I know my own kids do it. And sometimes I'm unaware and the doorbell will go and I'm going, who's here at this time of night? And it will be a Subway or something like that.
And I'll turn around and go, but look, there's dinner in the oven.
I know, there's saladas in the cupboard.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. I think it's a.
Well, how do we turn this around? What are we going to? This is not going to go away because it's obviously profitable for a lot of people. And what I'd like to know too. Are you a bit addicted to these delivery services? We'd love to find out if someone is going nuts. Do you have it every day? Are your kids going crazy? 1-333-53. Give us a call.
And also, why aren't you just, wandering down to your local restaurant and just having that lovely thing of sitting in a restaurant, not messing up your own home, and just enjoying your company of the people?
I can answer that when we come back from this break.
All right, 1-333-53. Give us a ring.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Malloy.
Matt Preston is here. We're so happy to have Matt in for Mick Malloy. It's Mick's RDO today, conveniently on a Friday for a weekend.
He's been at a boozy long lunch. Man. He's very excited. He's got all his mates with him. They've had a long lunch at a very nice restaurant, haven't they, Matt?
A bit how much was the?
Well, look, you know, I've just got the latest update on that. They've had cheese. Then, of course, they had to have after. That's after the three. Cheese, course number four. Desserts, course number five. And now they've moved on, Jane.
So this is interesting because you have cheese before dessert, Matt. That's how they do it in France.
Well, it's how they do it in Mick. Well,
Mick's really up himself. So
Prince Malloy.
Yeah, so he would do that. He wants to have the full catastrophe. Mm. I'm still getting over his behaviour last night when we went out for dinner.
You can't.
It was just dreadful.
It's unprofessional.
It was.
It's not good for the show, is it?
He tried to pash one of the wives.
What?
It was out of control. It's so good when he's not here to come back at me and and say something bad that I did.
I'm just so shocked and my eyes roll. That's all you can hear is the sound of my eyes rolling.
We're talking about...
And you've opened a can of worms with this Deliveroo subject, haven't you? And the board's lit up. Take some calls, Jane. I love it when you take calls.
Really?
You're so good at taking calls. Take some calls.
You know I like to chat and I like to talk to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you going?
Now, Chris, tell me about yourself. Do you often get Uber Eats?
I do, probably a couple of times a week, and it was only just last month that for some reason my credit card was declining when I was purchasing something. I thought, what's going on? Next day at work, I got my statement, pulled it up, sorted it out through all the Uber Eats, all the menu logs, and I'd spent over $250 in 4 weeks.
Mate, you've got to get...
I could not believe it.
Get a fry pan in your hand, mate.
Oh, no, here, the worst part is I actually do a monthly shop. The house is full of food. You just get too lazy.
Yeah.
So this is where I feel is a bit like gambling. It's so easy to go to that app. You don't. Yeah. It's so fast now to do it. Thanks, Chris, for your call. Let's try Jill. Hey, Jill.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, how many times have you had Uber Eats?
Never.
Wow. Tell us what's got. First of all, Jill,
I don't live in the country, so we don't have Uber Eats. Just dial a pizza type thing.
Yeah.
Nuts don't do it.
Now, what is your theory behind this?
I went through some tough times a little while ago.
Okay.
And couldn't afford to, you know, get takeaway and stuff. And
it's so easy to make your own pizza or do something like that yourself.
Make your own pizza, make your own stir fry. And my daughter's actually now realised that, homemade pizza tastes a hell of a lot better. So we just
work.
Your breath of fresh air, Jill. We better give a prize to you. Let's go to
got a great prize for you, Jill. That's the push mower kit and hedge trimmer kit. Thanks to Ego 56 volt outdoor power equipment worth over $1,000.
No.
EgoPowerPlus.com.au. Power beyond belief.
Well, Jill, it paid off.
Hey.
Now you can get Uber Eats.
That's right. So you can get Uber Eats.
Thanks, Jill. Well done. G'day, Mark.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Yeah, what's your theory on Uber Eats and Deliveroo and all this?
Yeah, look, I don't use it myself, and the thing that concerns me, and was touched on earlier, about underpaid drivers and uninsured, et cetera. Mm. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the actual business entity that actually covers the drivers, whether it's an Uber vehicle, like a taxi, or whether it's an Uber Eats, which usually it's guys doubling up doing both roles, is that the revenue being made through that entity actually doesn't get taxed. Uber Australia is actually a separate entity. So any marketing, any partner-based revenue in Australia is taxed, and Uber Australia has to clarify that.
Yeah,
the business side, it's actually registered. If you speak to any driver, the contracts are registered with an entity based in Europe. I think it's in Holland.
It'll be in Holland because Holland charges 0% tax on royalties. So what you do is you set up a company here that basically it's called exporting profit. You set up a company here, and you basically the amount of profit you make is exactly the royalty you have to pay to the head office in Holland, and therefore that becomes tax free. And it's an absolute
walking a fine line, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
it's not even fine line. It's
too many. It's legal, but too many companies do it. Is it right? I don't think it's right.
No. Okay. Thanks, Mark, for that informative call. Let's go to Rob. Hey, Rob, what's going on with Uber Eats? Where do you work?
It's not a work-related issue.
Yeah, what is it?
I was in hospital last week, and I was one of those patients that they just shove into any available bed. And the ward I was in, there were some long-term patients, and they ordered Uber Eats every day.
Did they really? Part of me says good luck to them, and they may as well order what they want to eat instead of crappy hospital food. Was the food all right, Rob, in hospital?
Well,
Well, yeah, it's not too bad, but the first night I thought I was imagining things because I was fasting.
Hallucinating?
I was fasting because I had to have an operation, and they ordered fish and chips, and I thought I was dreaming. And
oh, because you smell the fish and chips.
Yeah. And the next day they ordered Subway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, look, I know that that's a bit of an issue as well. We hope you get better, Rob.
My kids go to a Catholic school and they have stopped the student from getting, like, Uber Eats.
So they should. What's wrong with schools?
We got a note in the school bag the other day going, your child must not order this, because it must have been happening quite a bit at school.
Well, I was telling you guys, I was following with my daughter that, because you can follow the car. It's taking an hour and a half to get to our house. It's stopped.
No.
Halfway on the way and we're going, what is going on? Next minute, finally it arrives, and I've said, I'm going to talk to these guys, and my daughter's going, Mum, please don't cause a scene. I go out and I go, oh, sorry to drag you out, boys. Only been an hour and a half.
Hour and a half.
They put down the window, and it was a little smoky.
Herbaceous.
Let's just say that.
And
I was worried that perhaps my food had been eaten by people munchies. Who had the munchies.
Which is like that terrible video that came out of the delivery guy.
That's right. Eddie McGuire played a friend of his, had a film of a delivery guy who munched on the chips in between the door opening.
Tucking in while he was waiting for the door to be open.
Okay, well, very interesting topic. Thanks, guys. I think we'll wrap that up. And up. We stand by. We've got Week in Review soon.
More to come with Matt Preston sitting in for Mick Molloy.
This is Kennedy Molloy.
With Matt Preston filling in for Mick Molloy, who's just received a call from Nigella Lawson. That just happened in studio.
Is that what your life is now?
You've missed a call from
Nigella Lawson.
No, I ignored a call from Nigella.
You ignored a call because from Nigella. What are you doing?
Because I'm on radio with you. But if anyone's going to Perth, Gourmet Escape, have a great time. And Jane, Nigella Lawson, you revealed something quite interesting right there, then.
I'd crack on. Yeah. A lot of women would.
Wait a minute.
What? I know. I've said it before many times. You're not listening to me when I say it, obviously.
Nigella Lawson.
She has an amazing. What do you like about her?
Her décolletage.
Yep.
I beg your pardon.
You mean her boobs? Disgraceful.
No, her décolletage. No.
Her amazing
her knowledge.
Mind. Her amazing knowledge, her mind. You like her? No,
her sense of humour. Is she witty?
Yeah, she's very funny. She's a great dancer.
She went to George Columbaris's wedding.
Yeah,
didn't she?
She's an amazing dancer. Did you say
amazing dancer?
Amazing dancer.
Did you dance with Nigella Lawson?
I might have danced with Nigella.
Godfather.
What sort of
Manu.
Dancing?
Yeah,
just dancing to things like the Killers.
Right. Okay.
You know.
Wow.
If only we could put a Killers song on.
Yeah. Well, when you win an International Emmy Award, you might be dancing with Gwyneth Paltrow or someone like that on the dance floor. Is very big news. MasterChef has been nominated for an International Emmy Award. What's your category, Matt?
Unscripted, which means that we make stuff up, which I think is quite nice.
That's pretty good.
It's kind of suitable category.
Especially in Hollywood. Are you heading there for the awards?
No, strangely not. Strangely, the two owners of the company that make the show are going and leaving everyone else behind.
What?
Which I think is chronically unfair.
But that would be such a good night. Oh, yeah. Head there.
Wouldn't it be great? And we could mix with all the other illustrious nominees for the award.
I think you'd be better off staying in Australia, watching via satellite.
Yeah, you know, there'll be nothing worse than getting beaten by The Voice Uzbekistan.
That's right. Hey, what's the news with MasterChef? When do you start shooting that? Have you got all your contestants?
Yeah, we've got our contestants there.
Really?
They are a fantastic group, very similar to last year.
Wow.
We start beginning of December, we do the first week, and then we're back. We're back in the new year with Nigella, which is amazing. So that's
going to
be
great.
So that
she should just move here.
Yeah,
and well, you know,
I've got a spare room.
Jane.
Yeah. I can see it now. Welcome to Kennedy Lawson. That's a show. Hey, too.
Yeah, Mick might take another idea. What if Nigella co-hosted with me,
Jane,
she's in town?
How quickly do you replace me?
But sorry, Matt. Who?
No, exactly.
Does she wear beads like Matt? Because he's coming in with all class today.
Hey, I forgot to clown you. Have you still got the clown? We need to clown Matt Preston.
Yeah, right.
Is this a new thing?
Well deserved. I realise it's my midlife crisis, so rather than buying
I have had a few. Running out.
No, but you know, rather than dating the mistress in the leopard skin high heels or alternatively buying a Ferrari or a Porsche.
Yes.
I've been wearing my hippie beads, which I love my hippie beads.
They actually are not bad.
And you know what? Girls like the hippie beads.
They do. Maybe. I reckon you've got about 3 months left in them.
What, me?
Yes. I mean, not you, killing over, but I mean, I reckon those beads will get you through summer and then
Oh, yeah. No. Piff
them.
No. The whole thing about the beads is the beads have been in storage for about 14 years.
Oh, these are your...
No. See, they're resurrected, and this is why it's part of the midlife crisis. Because I've kind of gone, yeah, a pink suit, three-piece, floral cravat. What a dickhead. Let's get back to who I really am, which is, and my old friends look at me and go, why is your hair greased back on your head? Why isn't it just messy and all over the place?
Where's the real Matt Preston?
That's right.
Here he is in front of me now with his beads.
And the real Matt Preston is scarily like a kind of slightly cleaner Mick Malloy.
That's true. When we come back, we might hear a bit of Mick Malloy as we reminisce about the week that was in Week in Review.
Coming up, this is Kennedy Malloy with Matt Preston.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
We're learning a lot about Matt Preston today. Love having him here, though. He's sitting in Mick's chair, which is great. Mick's got one of his RDOs today, so he's not with us, but we're really happy to have Matt Preston here.
We haven't even thought about him.
To be honest, haven't.
Except
Mick who? Yeah.
Mick who. Oh, yeah. We are going to reflect a little bit on him because, as we do every week, we like to reflect on the week that was, and here's our week in review.
A week of outrage and outrageous behaviour on Kennedy Malloy. Mick's outrage at Roger Federer continued.
Federer catching a train to work.
I call bullshit.
What an idiot.
Oh, no.
Oh, I can't get any
better.
Loves me. I'm the most perfect sportsman in the world. I think he's a cheating, crying
baby. Hang on. When was the last time you were on a train?
Oh, please.
I go on trains all the time.
Oh, what, the
Do
royal
you?
Carriage?
No,
an overnight
royal
sleeper. what?
As
the,
if.
What, the bar card?
Charlie Pickering had some unresolved outrage.
At the baggage carousel at the airport.
Yes.
Everyone has to stand back a metre from the baggage carousel.
Yes.
It's not that hard. If you stand closer, you don't get your f***ing bag.
And there was outrage from a few members of Jane's family when Mick was invited to dinner.
A child appears at the door and says,
oh my God.
Mum, what are we going to have for dinner? I forgot to feed the children.
She forgot to feed the children and sends them down the road to get two large pizzas. Oh, here you go, kids.
There's so many of them.
They got
There was plenty of outrage about possums.
I live in an old house with 12-foot ceilings and my possums have army boots that rearrange their furniture in the middle of
shouting?
The night.
Yeah.
I made you deaf, Loretta.
And some of Mick's Deadpool nominations were pretty outrageous.
Noel Braithwaite?
He
just got to the end of horse.
He did not.
I thought the old course vet was going to put him in. I told you that.
Jane's behaviour sneaking food out of the hotel brekkie buffet could be considered outrageous.
It's bloody un-Australian if you go to the
That's
breakfast buffet when you're on holidays. You are not an Australian if you don't take some kind of vessel down there. Ash under your shirt.
A vessel?
Yeah, I had a little baby esky.
What?
And there was outrage over people farting at work.
I used to work in a transport company and I used to get in there in the morning after my big bowl of Weet-Bix and Fluffy off the chain, and they went and complained to the boss who come in and started going nanas at me and said, where's your first verbal warning?
I'm sure the two couples who purchased dinner with Mick at a charity auction would have been outraged if they heard this.
This has got swinging right over it. This is
please don't say that.
No, I've
keys in the bowl.
There'll be keys in the bowl before entree.
I'll be scared.
All right, well, if not, I'm going to try and cut one from the head.
They paid $4,500 for us.
Oh, wow, they're going to be disappointed in you.
And Jane was outraged that she dare be corrected on the air.
I love soy sauce.
Oh, yeah. Soy sauce or soy sauce?
Soy.
Yeah, you say soya.
I said soy sauce.
No,
you said soya.
Oh,
all right. I say soya, you say soy.
And you said the letter three before too. It's the number three. I didn't want to get that up.
Wow.
Well said, Dave.
I'm really,
someone had to say it.
I'm really close to walking out.
Well, come on. Please.
Jane Kennedy walks over being corrected on air.
When we talked about wanky office jargon, this exchange was pretty outrageous.
Oh, we got a meeting note. You say, hey, dude, you got a tight five?
No. I got a massive six in my pants. Would that get you in trouble?
Hashtag yes. This is why. This is why
this
we.
This is why I don't go to meetings.
A massive six. That was just said on the air.
I had to add in my pants. I had to add that.
But peak outrage was achieved this week over Bunnings sausages.
The onions now go underneath the sausage, not on top, because the onions could be a hazard.
Over my dead body. If for any chance you get the onions and they're on the bottom, tip the table over and punch on. I will go down to the sausage sizzle and set myself on fire.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks to Oboe Boom Mobile Broadband. It's supercharged internet anywhere. It's nice to have Matt here, someone who's a bit sensible when it comes to talking about broadband and internet. And
I thought I would like to inform you. Matt, are you familiar with Oboe Mobile Broadband? Because it's really incredible.
Is it quick?
Oh, man.
It's too fast,
well,
says Mick.
Too fast.
But what would he know? It's so quick, and it's an alternative to your fixed line internet, and it uses 4G.
Mm.
And it's prepaid mobile broadband, and guess where you can get it?
Not at 7-Eleven.
Oh, yes! Oh, my God. You are a mind reader. You can get it at your 7-Eleven, or you can go online at ovo.com.au, and you can get a massive 50 GB. When I asked Mick what GB is, he says Great Britain.
Smart
for
man.
$49.95 for 30 days, all the way up to the biggest in Australia. It's 250 GBs for $99.95. Ovo, we salute you.
Yeah, we love
Thank
them.
You for the amazing time you have spent. My apologies again for dealing with a Luddite like Mick Malloy. But it's good news to finish with Matt Preston, and he's very savvy with all technology.
He
Ovo, we thank you so much. Everyone, get down to 7-Eleven, idiots, as Mick would say.
Well, ovo.com.au or 7-Eleven. An alternative fixed line internet is Ovo Mobile Broadband. Easy for you to say.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Matt Preston in the hot seat for Mick Malloy, who should be back Monday after his boozy day today. One of those rostered days off.
He's currently, I think, he might have made his way to a venue. Mm-hmm. I think he's in Melbourne.
Righto.
And he's at Crown. I think he's at Warnie's Club.
Oh.
Warnie's Ex-Club. You know what? Mick would love a selfie.
He
as
loves
many
selfies.
Of you as possible.
Yeah.
Go up to Mick. He's at Club 23, I think.
Yeah, he'd
just
love
having
that.
A quiet drink on the balcony there.
And look, apropos Mick putting locks on the vending machine, I was surprised to find that there was none of Mick's Kuribata pork 1.5
that he
hours
had at lunchtime.
Or any $230 bottles of wine in there. It was quite surprising. He must have obviously had them yesterday for lunch.
He loves a selfie too, Mick, doesn't he?
He does love the selfie, and also he loves a good chat afterwards.
Yeah.
So why don't you just say, may I join you?
Yeah.
He's got endless stories to share.
He has, and he'll be seriously interested in what you have to say. There you go.
Well, it's been great having Matt here, though, which is fantastic.
Matt, we've been talking because I know that music is a very important part of your life, as it is mine, and you just discovered I've never been to a music festival.
And
it's a bit sad.
And this year I'm going to be going to Glastonbury. I haven't been for 4 years. I used to go the whole time. So I think you need to come. To Glastonbury.
I do.
I know.
I'll get my gum boots.
Yeah, and we'll get Mr. Gudinski, your good friend Mr. Gudinski, to help us out. I'll supply the yurt. Gudinski can get us the tickets.
Do they have proper toilets and showers?
Yeah, no. If you stay in the posh bit, yes.
All right. Oh. Okay.
Glastonbury is an amazing
I'll give that
festival.
Posh bit a go.
Yeah. There's been some rumours already as to who's going to be there.
Who?
The lineup hasn't been announced properly yet.
But who do you think might be there?
Stevie Nicks, I'm hearing. Taylor Swift, Kendrick Lamar, Robert Plant.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You know what the thing is?
Robert Plant.
The whole point.
I know.
The whole point is, as Robert Plant is playing, so 9 other amazing bands are playing at the same time.
Yeah. Do I have to walk very far?
No, because if we talk to Mr. Gudinski, we can go backstage, which is the best place. And then
can
you're between the two
chair
big stage.
And just sit in a chair. with a cast.
I think you prefer a beanbag. It's a bit more comfortable.
Mm, now harder to get out.
You said something like, you're not going nowhere.
I might struggle. Hey, Matt, we have loved having you on the show today. Of course, we've got MasterChef coming up 2019. You've already picked your contestants.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And look, there's one other thing, because obviously a great co-host doesn't just give you flowers to take home. He gives you flowers for the office or for your desk in the studio for next week as well.
Oh my God.
Are some more because this is what the new and improved Mick Malloy should be doing when he comes back on Monday.
What's going on? Why have I got a second bunch? Is this for the office to have as well?
Because you have a bunch on your desk here, so you can be reminded.
Oh, so
how
I can be like one of those office girls that show off to all the other office girls. They've got flowers.
That's right, and you can then have one to take home to your family. So they go, who gave you flowers? Aren't you incredibly special and loved? As every co-host should make you feel every week they work with you.
Not only does he dress fantastically, he brings you flowers.
And he's respectful to you too, Dave.
He
wasn't rude about your stupid moustache.
I think you can go a bit further with a little bit of a goatee next time as well.
Yeah, I think you can
too. Matt. I appreciate that.
Matt, it's been wonderful. You're a bit of a natural. Why don't you do radio? There you go.
No,
as well. You don't? No, well, let's talk.
And he's got the cookbook out as well at the moment. No.
He doesn't
great...
want to plug his fabulous new Christmas cookbook.
I'm not here to plug.
But buy it anyway.
So the new book is called Steam, and it's by my alter ego, Tim Fisher. It's got loads of pictures never seen before from the National
Archives.
That's
a lovely thing. Next week, you won't be here, Matt, but you will miss.
I'll be listening.
Tom Gleisner from Have You Been Paying Attention? Lee Sayles, Paul Stanley.
Lee Sayles' new book is unbelievable.
Oh, it is fantastic.
Unbelievable, yes.
That is wonderful. Paul Stanley, you just skipped over that.
Kiss.
Yes.
Dave
O'Neill. Is he still alive?
Yes, he is. Amazing. Of course he's alive. Kiss Alive, yes, have the T-shirt. Mm. Dave O'Neill, Lawrence Mooney, Adam Spencer, Will Anderson and Limo. Just some of the many interesting people we have coming on the show.
That is Mick Molloy and the Moon Man.
Yes. Oh, there's trouble. Yeah.
Fire and water.
Yeah. Don't we know it.
Thanks, Australia. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Don't forget you can listen to the podcast.
Yes. Grab the podcast at kennedymolloy.com.au. With our great pal, Matt Preston. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Sweet, thank you.
See you Monday, Kennedy Molloy.
Now you're all caught up on Kennedy Molloy. See what else you've been missing out on. Get on OVO Boom prepaid mobile broadband. Super fast with no contract or wires. OVO.com.au.